Hello and welcome to Margie.LA. Ooh, we were just listening to some of my music on SoundCloud. Vina Virago's Music for Porn Films. We have a new broadcast system here. I was just sort of studying the manual. Hold on, let me move the mic closer. Cover your ears. Freak. So hopefully we're recording. When I got in here, we were sort of at dead air. Let's see, now I'm trying to look at the recording console, but I can't. You know what? Let me put the music back on a second and let me check my levels. Ooh, there we go. Like I'm in the green. Yeah, this tool is called BUT, which is pretty funny. And I think it stands for broadcast using this tool. That's what we're doing. So I was going to read from these journals. I did these Hello Kitty journals, which I read on another show, which I had three journals that I made when I was at CalArts, like the last year. Let's see, it was November. I got the Hello Kitty journal as a gift from Mitsunori at my birthday party, which was at Jumbo's Clown Room, before Jumbo's Clown Room was cool. It was cool with some people, but like, I guess like the art kids and like punk rockers or something. And then also, you know, dudes who wanted to go see strippers and like rockers. The last time I was there, it seemed like a bunch of industry people, like Hollywood movie industry people there. And it was renovated. And I mean, it had been renovated for a while. But the, I think it was like a bikini bar. It used to be topless. Not fully nude, but topless. And I think the last time I was there was like, the woman was wearing a pasties or like a bikini or something. I'm taking a sip of some soda. So I was going to read from that journal, but I realized that, you know, I have a ceramics test coming up. I'm taking the ceramics class in college, and it's like, you know, it's like a regular college class, but it's a studio art class. However, we have to take a written test about ceramics, which one would think should not be a problem for me, since I've worked on a number of ceramic textbooks. And I was a ceramics major, but that was over 20 years ago. And also, every teacher has a different way of saying things. And oftentimes on a test, you should say back to the teacher at least like technical things. Not like, I'm not talking about like an essay. I'm talking about like, what is clay? Well, you know, you can't just say something sticky that's in the ground and pass the test. The teacher's really great, and I really respect the work that he does, and I feel like I should work hard to get a good grade on the test, even though I could probably not read any notes at all and get a C or a B or something. So let's see. So I'm just going to read. My test is at 7:30 on Wednesday, or maybe 7. Again, test, I just want to make shit. I never had a ceramics test except for when I did glaze chemistry. Because glaze chemistry, I don't think you make anything. You're just learning about the chemistry of the glazes and you're doing math. It wasn't even, in that glaze chemistry class, we weren't making glazes, I don't think. We were just studying, doing all the math and all of this stuff. And I've got this thing in my head, coefficient of expansion. And I think we were making little bars and boiling things and doing stuff like that, but nothing very fun. So, okay, so these are my notes. There's four pages of my notes, and then I'm going to read those notes and then maybe put on some music. Then I'm going to have a chat with John Bertle, who's at Human Resources, and then I'll come back and maybe read some of my journals, or maybe I'll just leave and go to the gym. I'm not sure. I still don't know how to make the archive play. When I came in, it wasn't playing. So it seems unclear as to how to get that to work. But maybe someone will message me. I've put the word out there into the Kaechang world. Clay. Clay is what? Clay is the result of rock decomposing, primarily granite, alumina, silica, and trace elements to help lower the melting point. I was taking these notes fast. I've got it written down somewhere. I thought I'd actually type through the whole thing, like type it all up. I'm really bad at typing. I'm slow at typing. So, I mean, I'm fast at hunt and pecking, is that what they call it? But I don't know how to really type. So it takes me a long time so that I could absorb the information. Okay, alumina, silica, and trace elements. There's like, I guess, is there flux? Well, if there's something to help lower the melting point, that usually would be a flux. But I'm not sure what that would be. In glaze, it's like lead or something. Yeah. I don't know if barium is a flux. Lead is a flux, or like, you know, fritted lead or something. Okay, what are the differences between primary and secondary clays? Primary clay is closer to the source of the decomposition, and secondary clays are further away. This affects the plasticity. Like, and I have a note here that says kaolin. I guess kaolin is like a primary clay. I guess that's in porcelain. Large particles are less plastic, more pure, closer to the point of decomposition. So I guess less plastic means that you can't like squish them around as much like sculpture or something, right? Secondary clays, more plastic, mixed with other minerals as they travel away from the source. So I guess that's like clay that's washed down the river and it mixes with other stuff. And then, you know, you can plasticity. I guess what is the definition of plasticity? Is this how something moves, right? I guess I could look that up here, but I have some more studying to do, obviously. Raw clays found in nature. Like ball clay is a raw clay, processed using glaze formation, mixing with recycled clay. Oh, I see. They take the ball clay and they mix it with recycled clay. I guess it probably gives it more structure or something, but it's less plastic if it's a primary clay. Clay bodies, mixtures of raw clays, primary and secondary, mixed with fluxes. Hey, I was right. But you don't put like lead in clay. Could you imagine if you put lead in clay and then you use it with your hands, you get all poisoned. I used to make clay, you know. At this school, they don't make clay. In the last place where I did ceramics, nobody mixed clay or anything. But when I studied ceramics, we had a big old clay mixer, and you just, you know, it would be like 50 pounds of this ball clay and 20 pounds of this gold art and something, something. And we just take like, you know, we just make like massive amounts of clay, like have a bag of clay or a full bag of clay or something. And then you like weigh it in a trash can or something, or if it's a full bag, you know how much it weighs. You put in this big mixer, and then you'd store your clay in it, like in another trash can. You just like put it in there, you know, just fun. And then it's good, like then you would let it sit and kind of rot, so it would get, it would be more, have more plasticity. Vitreous, non-porous, like glass, will not absorb water. So, you know, like high fire clays, they're vitreous, right? Like stoneware and porcelain. So you don't even have to put glaze on them, and they won't like leak. Stoneware is less vitreous than porcelain. Porcelain's the most vitreous clay. Then, like, earthenware will, like, sweat through. You know, like, if you put something in a flower pot and the water will sweat through eventually. Viscosity, fluid in particles of water. Water, non-viscous, honey, super viscous. I mean, viscosity is like fluidity, but I have to say something else in the test. Fluid in particles of water. I don't know. I have to look that one up again. It's about fluidity. It's like when your glaze runs, it either stays or it runs, you know? High fire versus low fire. High fire clay bodies are the only clays that are vitreous by nature. Hey, I already said that. Porcelain, only true vitreous clay. Stoneware, mostly vitreous, like 2% maybe not vitreous. Earthenware, porous. Stages of greenware, wet, leather hard, bone dry. Why do we score slip slurry? To achieve particle alignment. When you're joining two pieces of clay together, you scratch it like with a fork or something, and then you put the slip, which is clay that has been dissolved in water and it's really soft. It's kind of like glue, or like it's like wheat paste, like that consistency. It's thick, and you always brush it in the same direction because you want all the particles to align in the direct same direction. You know, they merge and become one. They've got the urge to merge, that clay. Why is equal moisture content important? You know, like when you're putting the two pieces of clay together, you don't want to put a bone dry piece of clay on a wet clay because of the shrinkage. One has less water, one has more water. They're going to shrink at different rates, and then they're going to crack. Dry clay and wet clay will pull apart. I had some, like, on this last thing I was making, this sculpture, and there was a little crack in the end, and, you know, I just kind of wet both pieces and put some slurry in there. It was a tiny crack. And then after I fired it, it wasn't cracked at all. I worked really hard and slow on doing that, but it was only a tiny surface crack. Then I saw the base of this other thing I built, like the inside, because I made this base that you couldn't see, you know, that it could stand on. There was a crack in there, but some of the clay must have been drier than the other clay, and you can kind of get away with that if you kind of put the slurry in there and work it both together, you know, but it cracked. But I don't think it's going to affect the piece because it's underneath, and I stuck some glaze in there hoping it would be like glue. Okay, dry clay and wet clay will pull apart. Need to achieve less stress between the two objects, yet they get stressed out and they fight and kazam, a big crack. I'm not going to start talking about, other things. I was thinking about explosive relationships, explosive fights, breaking dishes, cracking, throwing things, breaking things. Oh, God, youth is just so much fun. Okay, why do we vent? We vent, that's why we have kaechang. No, vent means you don't want to make a pot or like a sculpture and not put a hole in it because it's going to blow up. So that the air heats up and then kabloom, kablooey. That's why you don't want to have bubbles, like big bubbles in your clay. Air trapped in a form will expand as it heats up and that object will burst. What happens is it blows up and then it can hit other people's pots. So they only take these objects out or like wet that you first make that are greenware. They fire them all together, not with any glazed pieces, because if they blow up and there's other glazed pieces in there, it'll stick to them. Also, they do the glaze firings fast. Now, many years ago in the 80s, I used to do single fire. I did not tell the teacher this. I just try and sit in the class, answer some of the questions, not answer all of the questions because I worked with clay, but I also don't always answer them the exact way that he wants me to answer them because I study with someone else and, you know, I just have a little bit of a different take on some of it. So I try to be very respectful of how he wants to teach the class because it's his class. And if nobody else will answer something, then I will try to answer something. So, they have, you know, at the school where I'm at, we fire the bisque ware to the same temperature that I used to fire final pieces. They also do that here with the glaze and low fire. They fire it to the same temperature, but they do two different firings. That's also because it's a school. Like when I was in school and I was firing my own stuff, I just did everything in one firing because I would go very, very slowly. And then I would take something, use like earthenware or like with red clay or a white earthenware, or I take a red clay and I put white slip over it or white engobe over it. And then I put these colors into slip and these stains called Mason stains. And then I would just paint the cups and then on that. And then whenever I'd let them dry, you know, till they were really dry, they were small and thin. And then I would put a clear glaze over that. And then I would just do one firing because it saves time. I would just do the one firing. Once it got to the temperature, which is, I think, 1860. I don't think we have to know temperatures for this test, but I think 04 is 1860. I have that in my other notes. Once it got to that temperature, I guess I would just hold it till the glaze melted. I don't remember, you know, because it's been a long time. One day, in the back of my storage space in Yonkers, I'll find those notes, and I will remember exactly what I did. Because, you know, when you fire clay and you do things and you use glazes, you take notes. Like, I've got notes on glazes I've used. Okay, extrusions. Oh, an extruder. It's like a Play-Doh factory. It's a device wherein the clay is pushed through a die to create, like, a uniform shape. a uniform form that doesn't sound right. This, I got to switch those words around. You know, it's like Linda Benglis's pieces. Have you ever seen Linda Benglis's pieces? It's like these squished things out, and then she like shapes them or whatever, but they're made with an extruder. And I was at a gallery recently, and I saw sort of knockoff Linda Benglis's pieces. Not, you know, they're not like Linda Benglis's pieces, but you could see that they were informed by Linda Benglis pieces, which for me made them not so interesting, but maybe I'll look at them again. And the next time I see them, I'll see how they're different than Linda Benglis's pieces. Linda Benglis, for people who don't know, she is, you know, she's an artist. She's probably, I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her 70s or maybe older. But she was famous for making, taking out that art forum ad. You know, she was a feminist where she had the, wore the strap on, you know, and that was shocking. I think that was in the 60s. But she also did, like, ceramics. She was a ceramic artist, and she also did, she also made videos. So I remember liking one of her videos. I saw a show of hers. I think it was at the New Museum, and I don't know if it was her show or group. I think it was a group show. Yeah, you know, I don't remember exactly what it was, but and I don't remember what the video was, but I liked it. Why do I think there was like Snoopy in it? That was probably someone else's video. I think her stuff is more serious. If you call that like glitter stuff, if you call glitter on a sculpture serious, it's kind of playful and. I think it has, like, tooling and stuff. And I like her work. And, you know, when I was in sculpture school, the teacher mentioned something to me about Linda Benglis, but he didn't say, you would love her, you should see her, you should... It was because I think I made a bronze piece of a cast of bronze dildo, you know? So, Susan Peterson, my old ceramics teacher, I'm sure she knew Linda Benglis. She always put Linda Benglis's pieces in her ceramic books, you know? So, you know, if Susan were live today, I'd talk to her some more about Linda Benglis and maybe ask if I could meet her. So, let's see. All right, hand-building methods. Coil, pinch, slab, hard and soft. Extrusions. We didn't do extruding in that class. At least I don't... We didn't have, like, a project with the extruder. You know, it's this big tube on the wall, and you push the clay through, but it's a real bitch to clean, you know? So you have to make something big, I think, if you're going to use that thing, if you want to clean it out. Like, cleaning the wheel is easy. You know, there's like little trays, you just dump them. And if you hand build, you don't have to clean very much. Slab, hard and soft. Hard slab is like you let it dry a little bit, like if you're going to make a box. You know, I made this like curvy thing, like a rainbow looking thing. I think it looked like a Chanel purse or something with like another rainbow kind of looking thing on top, like a half circle. And it caved in a little bit because, you know, it was a little soft when I put it together. So glaze is a layer of glass fused in place over a piece of clay. That's what glaze is. It's glass. Glaze is made from silica, which is the glass former, alumina, which is the stabilizer. Flux lowers the melting point. I feel like I need to look up some fluxes. I'm just like, is barium a flux? I don't remember. There's barium a stabilizer. Anyway, flux lowers the melting point. Yes. Methods of application. Dip, pour, spray. Wax resist equals wax in a liquid state that is applied to the bisque ware to keep the glaze off of that specific area. Wax burns out at 600 degrees. So, like, if you're making a, you got to put the wax in the school, you have to wax the bottoms. I never used to wax the bottoms. I just wash them off. So you wax the bottoms. But if you have a little bit of wax on your fingers and you touch your pot, no glaze is going to stick to that part. And that really sucks. And that happened to me in my last piece. But it's a tiny area in my last, like, sculpture that just came out. But you know, you can't even tell. Also in that piece, like, you don't put, I put wax all on the bottom, but I didn't notice that it wasn't, like, sitting flat, that it was sitting in the uneven way, so I didn't even have to wax all that bottom because that glaze was pretty stiff. It didn't run. How thick should glaze be? Thumbnail or credit card? Yes. Why glaze? Well, it's decorative, meaning aesthetic. It's hygienic, you know, keeps things clean. Stuff doesn't get stuck in the rough clay. And it's functional. Yeah, I guess that means it makes sure that seals it or something, right? What do we got? We got, oh, only 1.5 more pages. Okay, stains and coloring oxides. I got to look at these pinch pots analysis to remember what colors. We've got black. Black stain is black. Chrome. Chrome is green. Then I wrote the next thing. I got to get my pen out. Hold on. I found a mistake. And then I wrote chrome is blue. Chrome isn't blue. Cobalt is blue. But, you know, you're a painter. If you're a painter, you know that cobalt is blue. So, hey, do I have to study some more for this test, or is this going to be it? Cobalt is blue. Copper. In the class, they said copper is reddish pink, or it could be other color. Well, you know, we know that copper is red in reduction when you reduce the amount of oxygen, and copper is green in oxidation when you increase the oxygen. In most of the firings at the school, they do a reduction firing. Some of the advanced students do oxidation firings at cone 5. I was looking at the cone 5 glazes. I don't think any of them are so good. I think people should make better cone 5 glazes if they're going to do cone 5. Or actually, you could do, like, there are some mason stains that really hold up really nicely in cone 5. Mason stains are like these powdered colors. And they're, you know, years ago I liked using those because they look like paint. So I like them better than underglazes, because underglazes, you have to put so many coats and you can't always tell. It seems very uneven, whereas the stains seem much more controllable and more stable. You can also mix the stains with water and paint them over a Majolica, which is this white, thick white glaze. So, but I don't think – the stains are really expensive, so they don't have so many stains there at that school. I used to buy my own at school because in New York had this ceramic shop. You could buy, like, just a little bit, you know. You don't have to buy a pound or something. Kilns and firing. Bisque is your first firing. Why do you do that? Why? To remove the chemical water. One. Two, makes the work more porous. Easier to glaze when bisqued. Bisque. And it also adds strength for glazing. You can totally glaze things that are not bisque, but just think if you have this, like, thin, dry piece of clay and you dipped it in the bucket, you know, it'd probably absorb all the water and just disintegrate, you know? And then in an academic setting, we need to weed out the poorly constructed work. It's better for something to blow up when glaze is not present, when no glaze is present. You know, I would say in our class, I'm in a beginning class, nobody's stuff is blown up. Everyone's done a great job. Nothing's blown up. Okay, almost done with this. Kilns, firing, pyrometric cones, monitor the temperature of the kiln, and used for consistency. Firing is about time and temperature adding up to heat absorption. So the cones, whoops, I hit the microphone again. Like, the cones are, they're made of, like, clay, right? So they know what temperature they know what the body of the clay is going to be like. You want to know the body, the temperature, not just of the oven, right? If you were, like, cooking a pizza, oh my God, I totally want a pizza. But, like, you want to know the internal temperature, So I guess they're like a thermometer, right? You know, like, you think about, if you stick a thermometer in, like, a roast, you put it inside, boom, you stick it in the, you know, I remember making turkeys, you just stick that thermometer in the side or something. Glaze firings go twice as fast as bisque. Yeah, because it's already, all the water's already gone out of the clay, so you don't have to go slow because nothing's going to blow up. Wait, I think I'm almost done. Oh, yes, thank you. Kilns and firing. Where? When? First kilns were 20,000 years ago in China. And then I say, look at the kiln handout for timeline. I think the kilns were really perfected in Japan, in Korea and Japan. I think that's the last thing in the timeline is the Japanese kiln. I don't want to take out the timeline now because I want to have a drink of water and, think about something else. So kulina, Latin for kiln, a structure to build, built to conserve heat. Now, you know, I just said I didn't want to take out the handout, but you know what? What if I don't get those questions right? Ooh, I just found a whole sheet of poop on Trump buttons in my school folder that I printed so I could make, I printed at work, so I can make, I've got pee on Trump, piss on Trump, poop on Trump. I'm really trying not to pay so much attention to politics, but I am going to meet with the dominatrixes against Donald. We're going to go to this, like, sex workers protest march next weekend in Hollywood to protest. I think it says Fost Us, something. It's like, it's you can't have any sex talk online anymore, and, like, prostitutes are, you know, they can't put online ads. You know, it's there. People could get in a lot, have a lot of fines and get arrested and have trouble. And, you know, sex workers really understand the need to prevent sex trafficking. Of course, nobody wants sex trafficking, but they also need a forum to do their work, you know, and they need a place to be safe. And, you know, things that are online you are traceable, you know? And it's like, I was saying it at one, it was at Kim Yee's show, and there was a woman there, I forget, a dominatrix, who was talking about this. It's the first I'd heard of it. And I was saying, you know, you just go back to sort of analog or something, or you go back underground. Like, when I was a sex worker in the 90s, we had cash, we had nobody's names on file. We knew sort of regulars just by their face. We didn't have anyone's info. It was cash only, no questions asked, no names, no ID. It was really old school. And it was that in a couple of places where I was, I think, two of them. The other one might have been different. I don't want to go off on that tangent right now. So I worked in three places. I don't know. Whatever. We're talking about ceramics, not sex work. Okay. Kilns and firing. Kiln or culina, Latin, a structure built to conserve heat as early as 18,000 BCE or 20,000 years ago. So I don't know. Wouldn't 18,000 BCE or and 18,000 years ago be the same thing? BCE meaning before the common era. So this is like a kiln timeline, and there were different kinds of kilns. That was just like a pit firing, and then there was a bottle kiln. That was 4,000 BC. I don't know if I have to know. Does that mean it took like 16,000 or 12,000 years to figure out how to build a bottle kiln? You know, there's all these different notes. And then there was 1,000 AD updraft kiln. Then the next section is kilns of Asia. Because, you know, this Japanese ceramics is very, very famous. The sophistication of the kilns of China, Japan, and Korea was unmatched in the West. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. All the serious potters go to Japan. I don't remember anyone talking about Korean ceramics so much before, but it seems like it would be fun to go to Korea, too. If you're going to go to Japan, see the kilns, why not go to Korea? Anagama kiln, downdraft. Noborigami kiln, downdraft. That's like chambers up a hill, like Hamada. Hamada, the famous potter, that was his kiln, was like that, with all these, they're like rooms you could go in. Yeah. Then it says here, two firings. Bisque is slower, takes more time, gives more time for chemical water to evaporate. We went there. Okay. The Chinese figured out the firing atmospheres. Reduction, reduce oxygen. Oxidation, add oxygen. Neutral. It's like an electric kiln. It's heat only. There's no combustion. There's nothing catching fire. But some people, I think, in the electric kilns, they throw straw and all crap in there. So then there's these Orton cone scales. I don't know if we were supposed to remember that, but 2381 is cone 10. I always thought it was 2380, but I guess it's 2381. Okay. 2185 is cone 5. 1860. Oh, that was 06, not 04. I used to fire things to 04. That's why I get all confused, you know, because that's what I use. I studied with this woman, Judy Munellis, who Susan Peterson hired, and she did all her stuff single fire 04. It's a little bit higher temperature than 06, just by a little bit. Let's see what 04 is. They don't have this chart. It doesn't have the whole breakdown of it. But, yeah, it goes when the numbers are higher, it means that the temperature is lower. Like 022, that's 1,112 degrees. Yeah, when you do, like, China, what does that say? You do, like, overglaze lusters, China paints and enamels and, like, sticker-looking things, you know. That's still, if you think about it, that's still almost four times the temperature needed to bake a Trader Joe's pizza or a Trader Joe's flatbread that's kind of like pizza, but it's not really pizza, but it is pizza because it's got cheese and vegetables on it. The temperature for that is 450 degrees. So you cannot make ceramics in your oven. Whoops, you hear that? That's my notes going away. So I think we're going to play some music now. And then I'm going to decide whether I'm going to, whether I'm going to keep going or if I'm just going to go to the gym. Friday night at the gym. I know, a lonely lady. But actually, I when I do have dates, the dates are usually later, like 10 or 11, you know, because they're those kind of dates. everyone. Margie.LA back from a music break, a musical interlude. I'm going to take off and go to the gym because the LA Fitness on El Centro closes at 10 p.m. today, not midnight, because it's Friday night and people want to party. They don't want to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next month. It's Margie.LA on K-Chung Radio, kchungradio.org, 1630 a.m. in Chinatown, Los Angeles. Good night. Have a fantastic holiday weekend.